May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Back sometime fairly early on in the summer, I mentioned that I was going to be taking advantage of this ordinary time that we call this summer season to talk from time to time about liturgical issues, to talk about some of the aspects of our common worship life, and to explore those in greater depth. I'm not sure what happened to the summer. But I do want today to offer the second installment, now that it's fall, or almost fall, in this series of liturgical exploration, worship, diving a little bit deeper into our practices of common worship. And what I want to talk about today is the prayers of the people. The prayers of the people occupy somewhat of a unique role in the Book of Common Prayer. The service that we follow on Sunday, the worship service that we follow on Sunday from the Book of Common Prayer, is more or less common across all of Anglicanism, intentionally so. A unifying aspect of our role as Anglicans. Not exactly the same from place to place, but very much so, and certainly within the Episcopal Church, that commonality is an intentional aspect of our worship, our Sunday morning worship. And the architecture of that service is focused across the Anglican Communion on Holy Communion. The prayers of the people, on the other hand, are meant to be flexible. They are meant to be local. They are meant to vary from place to place, to reflect the prayers and the needs and the character and the personality of a particular worshiping congregation. This intentional variability, this intentional flexibility has not always been the case in the Book of Common Prayer. Those of us, I don't know how many of us it is, but those of us who grew up with the 1928 Book of Common Prayer know that that portion of the service wasn't even called the prayers of the people in that book. It was called the prayer for the whole state of Christ's church and the world. And it too was uniform from place to place. And I think for me, one of the really rich and neat changes in the current prayer book is this encouragement for the prayers of the people to be just that. To be the prayers of these people. There's a lot of latitude, a lot of flexibility allowed for us as we approach these prayers. And my hope, my ultimate hope for us as a worshiping community with respect to the prayers of the people is for these prayers to be as much as possible the prayers of the people assembled here today. These people, us, today. That the prayers of the people should reflect the concerns and the hopes of the people who are assembled in worship in this place on this day. When we offer these prayers as an assembly, as a gathered assembly, we are not required to use any of the forms in the Book of Common Prayer. We are asked to consider in our prayers a certain list of categories as we offer our prayers to God, to keep in mind a set list of categories. And somewhat like the lectionary, which requires us to encounter portions of scripture that we might not choose to encounter, like this morning's gospel, on a regular basis, I think that this discipline with respect to the prayers of the people is also a helpful one. It reminds us to look outward, to look broadly in the prayers that we offer. Those categories that we are asked to consider are these: the universal church, its members, and its mission. The universal church. This church, but the universal church. The broadest definition of church. Nothing is broader than universal. The universal church, its members, and its mission. The nation, and all in authority. The welfare of the world. The concerns of the local community. Those who suffer and those in any trouble. And finally, the departed. A list for us to stay on track as we offer as a people our prayer. Pray for the church, the people who are the church, the nation and all in authority, the welfare of the world, local concerns, all those who suffer or are in trouble, and the departed. As we think about these prayers, these intercessory prayers, these prayers that we raise up as an assembly, as a group, thinking about these prayers begs perhaps the most basic question, which is, why do we even offer intercessory prayers? Is anybody actually listening? Yes. Yes. Yes, God is listening. And it has certainly been the experience of people of faith across the centuries that the God whom we seek, the God whom we worship, is an active and a responsive God. Although certainly not always in the way that particular individuals might hope. But God is listening. God is a part of the conversation. And God is, in the fullness of God's love, active and responsive to the needs of the world. But I would also point out, and I am not by any means the only person to say this, I would point out that the expectation of a response from God is not the primary reason for us as a group to pray. It's a good reason, certainly, but not perhaps the primary reason for us as a group assembled. I'm talking about corporate intercessory prayer. I'm talking about the prayers of us as an assembled group in worship. The expectation of a response from God is not the only, or maybe even the primary reason for us to offer prayers. I want to share with you a quote from Mother Teresa. I can't remember if I've shared this with you all before or not. If so, it's worth repeating. Mother Teresa has written about prayer. "I used to pray that God would feed the hungry, or do this or that. But now I pray that he will guide me to do whatever I'm supposed to do, whatever I can do I used to pray for answers, but now I pray for strength. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us, and we change things. We pray actively, we offer prayers to God so that we may be changed. Prayer changes us. And as I think about corporate prayer, as I think about group prayer, there are at least two ways, I think, that sort of prayer might work to change us. The first one may seem subtle, and yet I think it is very important. It is remembering that this is corporate prayer. It is prayer that we as an assembly offer to God. It is not just a collection of different individual prayers. Individual intercessory prayer is important, but that's not what we're doing in the prayers of the people. What we are doing in the prayers of the people is offering our prayers. Our prayers, not just his and hers and yours and mine, but our prayers. And in that praying, we are united, we are brought together, we are changed and formed into a community in a couple of ways. This is not to say that you should not bring individual prayers to the assembly, not at all. But in bringing them, you share them with us, and we share them with you. Your concerns become all of our concerns. And we are united in that act of coming together in concern for one another and for the needs that an individual brings. It is no longer just your need, it is ours. And in that common care, through prayer, we are brought together. Also, it's helpful to think, as we offer these prayers that are ours, to offer prayers that all can pray. We live in times, as you know, that are divided and contentious. And as we pray for the needs of the world, can we as a community all join together in prayer? Can we offer prayers that all can pray? That's a transforming exercise, to work at that, to work at seeing God's love and God's presence in a way that is unifying and not divisive. That process of offering prayers that unite, that respond to the needs of the world, but that unite rather than divide, that process changes us. Not only uniting us, but transforming us so that we see more clearly, I believe, God's vision for what the world is meant to be. The second way that praying together can change us is pretty much what St. Teresa is talking about, which is that as we pray, we can be, should be, motivated for action ourselves. She talks about not praying that God will do all these things that need to be done, but in the act of bringing these needs and concerns to God in prayer, recognizing and owning and being motivated to do those things that we can do, to move towards action, to be changed from merely a passive recognition of what needs to be done, to to people who can do something about it. Transformed for action. What does all of this mean in terms of our life together as a worshiping community, as a community that gathers on Sunday morning? It means a couple of things. Starting next week, not today, starting next week. It means a couple of things. One of those is to have as our concluding collect, our concluding prayer, at the end of the prayers of the people, St. Francis's prayer. I know many of you cherish and have missed that as a part of our regular worship. So it comes under the umbrella of local prayers, something that this community cherishes, that is important to us as a worshiping community. But perhaps, at least for me, even more significantly, it is a call to action. As you know that prayer, you know it's a call to action. Lord, make us instruments, is how it starts. Make us instruments of your peace, your love, your vision. Instruments do something. Instruments have an active role in making something happen. What a wonderful way to conclude our prayers with this corporate call to action. Make us instruments, we will say together. Where there is hatred, let us so love. There's a tendency, I think, when we say that prayer, to say, where there is hatred, let us so love. Which is good. The contrast is good. But hear it this way also. Where there is hatred, let us so love. It's about us. It's about what we are called to do. Let us act. All of the verbs are active. Grant that we may console, understand, love. Grant that we may do these things. Us. I'm also thinking about, pondering, and I really welcome your input on this, ways to make the prayers that we offer, the intercessions that we offer, ours, not just the books, but ours, and to make them current. To make them responsive to our needs and the world's needs within the last week or so. To make them ours and to make them current. I know of one parish that has a sign-up sheet every Sunday. And as people come in, they write down under the different categories the particular prayers and concerns that they have that day. You still publish the general parish prayer list in the bulletin and newsletter. But to offer up those contemporary prayers, that's one thing that can be done. Maybe there's a group of people who want to write prayers weekly or seasonally to bring in specifically concerns of the local community that are current, in addition to the broad prayers that we will continue to offer. Let me know what you think might work. For now, what I'm going to do with respect to the form of the prayers is to change them more regularly. And to bring in other sources as well, so that we have some freshness and some variety in our experience to more ways in which God's people pray. And in every form in which the prayers of God's people are offered, there is room for you to actually give voice on Sunday morning, to speak silently or aloud those prayers that are on your heart today. Next Sunday, please bring those prayers. desires, bring those contemporary concerns, bring them, offer them, speak them. Those of you who didn't grow up in the Episcopal Church, maybe you're not afraid to speak prayers in a public setting. Bring them. Bring them on your heart. Bring them in your prayers. Bring them with your voice. Your prayers are our prayers. Today, here, every time we gather, bring your prayers. Your prayers are ours. Amen.